As I told you last week, Proverbs are short sayings gleaned from long experiences. Very short little phrases, little ditties that are kind of a combination of different experiences, different knowledge, different things we've gleaned for the years. That's a common definition. Or as I said last week, a proverb is a short, pithy phrase that states a perceived truth. And to go with the picture I have on this morning, it's colorful sayings about life. Colorful sayings about life, okay? Proverbs are tools that we might use more frequently than we think, though. In fact, there are a lot of proverbs out there that I found, and I listed several of them this morning. Here are some that we probably are familiar with. See if you can finish this proverb, okay? Absence makes the heart grow fonder. That's correct. How about this one? Actions speak louder than words, right? Yep, louder than words. How about this one? Beggars can't be choosers. Yeah, exactly. You guys are really good at these things. How about this one? Not the brightest tool in the shed. There, that's the one I said. There's other ones out there. How about this one? All good things must come to an end. Right? All these are great proverbs. Here's a good one. A watched pot never boils. How many have you really experienced that? That seems more common than I think. I mean, perceived truth that just, okay, watch what never boils. And then here's another one. A picture is worth 1,000 words. Common proverbs. However, some proverbs, especially if you talk to kids that don't know these proverbs, are kind of misunderstood or misquoted proverbs. So here's some mistaken proverbs. Let's see if you can get some of these here. A journey of 1,000 steps begins with one. That's what I've heard, but I've heard also it's long. How about this one? Don't bite the hand. Use a fork. Right? Don't bite the hand. Use a fork. If the shoe fits, buy it. Here's one that you probably are coming with, especially with this time of Proverbs. If at first you don't succeed, quit it. Quit. Here's one that's coming very soon here. A penny saved is a penny taxed. penny taxed, yes. Beauty is in the eye of the tiger. I don't know if they got those songs mixed up or something. Anyways, how about this one, another kind of mixed up one? Don't count your chickens before they cross the road. That's right, before they cross the road. Again, kind of mix it up there. And how about this? Better late than? Not at all. And of course, you all probably know this one. Cleanliness is next to godly. Well, I said it was dirtiness, so I don't know. Dirtiness and clean. Anyways, all these are different proverbs, right? And all these proverbs are not from the Bible, especially this last one. You think this last one, whether it be correct or not, is actually not in the Bible. People think cleanliness is next to godly is actually a proverb from the Bible. It's not. It's not actually. I had looked this up here. Who? John Wesley, the big theologian, big person that founded the Methodist Church, actually said cleanliness is next to godliness. 1778, I was told. But there are a lot of proverbs in the Bible. And last week we started a series on proverbs called Proverbial Wisdom. And we're looking at proverbs that are primarily written by Solomon, although we'll see later on that there were several that were added later on that were from other people or were edited by Hezekiah's men, as we'll see later on. But they were written for a purpose, and the reason why they're written was to what the Proverbs were. And Proverbs were never intended to give us a promise or 100% guarantees, just like these Proverbs that we see this morning, because that wasn't their intent. Proverbs were just kind of pithy little sayings. They weren't guarantees, promises. They just were perceived truth, things that were true most of the time. So don't stake your life on the Proverbs. And like I said, the Bible writers never intended them to be promises of God. They're Proverbs. That's why they called this book Proverbs. But this week we're actually going to start looking at the actual book and kind of look at the purpose behind the Proverbs and kind of the theme that we'll see throughout this series on Proverbs. And actually in chapter 1, we'll look at the first lesson that this Proverbs is in. And so we'll see that these Proverbs are intended for us to gain wisdom from these lessons from those from before us, from those people from before us. And so we're going to start off by looking at the purpose of Proverbs. There's actually, I counted, sevenfold purpose of Proverbs that are mentioned right here in the first chapter. Let's look at this first chapter, starting in verse 1, and it actually tells us the seven purposes of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1 starts in verse 1, says this, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for providing prudence to the simple and knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise learn and add to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, sayings and riddles of the wise." Now, there are seven reasons why the Proverbs are written here. I'm going to just briefly talk about all seven of them. Again, I don't have time to go into detail on these because we'll see these more and more as we get into the Proverbs actually. But the first purpose of these sevenfold purposes is to gain wisdom and discipline. Now, those are two key words that we'll see in Proverbs, the word wisdom and the word discipline. Wisdom, again, no surprise that this book is a wisdom book. It's used 76 times in just the book of Proverbs, 76 times alone. It's a proper use of knowledge. It's the things we gain through experience. And the Hebrew word is almost always translated wisdom. So whenever you see the word wisdom, this is usually the word in Hebrew that's used in most translations. But discipline is also another key word, talking about over 60 times used in Proverbs. But it talks about how to be trained and live a correct direction of life. It's a person who is self-controlled, or one who is, if he's not self-controlled, is at least one that's easily corrected. Someone that can learn something and follow through with it. That's what discipline means. It's a living a life that is in line with sound teaching. And again, this book is full of that, to gain this wisdom and this way of life that is straight and narrow. But there's a second purpose here that mentions there, is to gain or understand words of insight. Understanding comes from hearing and listening to what is taught to us from those who know better, from those who experience it. And so when we understand these insightful things, we just gain purpose in life. It's putting these things into practice to understand them. When you hear things, you actually do things. You understand and apply them to our lives. You see, when you cannot apply wisdom and insight to these problems, then there's a problem with a disciplined life and the wisdom that you've received. And so you need to have these understanding, this way of thinking that is in line and putting these things into practice. That's what helps us in Proverbs as well. But third, we have to acquire a disciplined and prudent life. Now, this is actually applying this insight and understanding, and I hope you've already seen there's kind of a parallelism here in these parallel things, and we'll see that throughout the book of Proverbs, that many things are stated and yet said in a slightly different way, and yet they're still similar. And so the similarities and contrasting and things are just slightly different. The similarities are important, but if you look at the different nuances of each one, they give us a different aspect, kind of making a two-dimensional picture into a three-dimensional picture. It kind of broadens it out, makes it from all aspects by looking at these, by just using slightly different terms, slightly different words. And so they give... It acquires a disciplined life and a prudent life. And that prudent life is very insightful. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I'll talk about it now. Prudence is something that's mentioned 13 times in this book. 13 times the word prudence in this form is used. And it's used of someone who sees their lack, sees what they need in their life, and actually does something about it. They're able to be taught, someone who wants to improve themselves, someone who considers these words and actions and actually gives heed to the teachings of them. When you're prudent, you say, you know, this is right. This is, I need to do this, right? That's kind of the prudence that we see in this disciplined life. So those who are prudent are walking in the right ways. And that's many times in the Proverbs we'll see it's prudent, it's wise, it's good to do this. Then we see this, which is very similar, but actually different. It's to give prudence to the simple. Now, this word prudence is different from the prudence of the first one there. The two word prudence are two different words in Hebrew. Okay, the first word, prudence, means to be able to be taught. Someone that's able to be taught, able to learn, able to apply these things. The second word here and used in verse 4 means to gain discernment, to distinguish between two different opinions, two different things, and say, okay, between these different things, right and wrong, which one's better? Which one's more applicable to me? So it's good to be able to be learned and taught, but it's also to know the difference between good and bad, to know the difference between wise and foolish, to know and understand between what is wisdom and what is folly. Another person says that this kind of prudence is someone who lives shrewdly or correctly. It's saying, hey, I've got to think about this. And so not only do we get wisdom and understanding and get a disciplined and prudent life, we can also differentiate between right and wrong, between the simple. And this prudence is not just for the simple, and we'll see this in a minute here, what the difference is between simple and foolish, right? Yeah, because simple is also used many times here in the Bible as well. You know, simple is a word that's used 14 times. Give prudence to the simple. And the simple doesn't mean dumb. It doesn't mean foolish. We'll see that in a minute. That's different from foolish. It's someone that's just kind of inexperienced. Someone who just needs to be taught, needs to be learned something. It's talking about usually about those who are young or inexperienced who have not yet applied that wisdom to their lives, have not become wise. They've not learned everything yet. They're just simple and naive is what we would call more today. The naive person is the simple. Now, the simple people will see in a minute, if they stay simple, that's wrong. But the simple are just those who need to learn more. It's not necessarily a bad word to begin with. So it gives prudence to the simple. It gives us discernment, this what is right and what is wrong, and to those who don't know what is right and wrong. And hopefully they learn from that and become, from the simple, they turn into the wise. But then there's also something that says here, it says add learning to the wise. And this is something that I think is very fascinating about Proverbs as well. It's not just for those who are ignorant and stupid and dumb, who are just kind of dull-witted. It's for the people who are wise too, people who know the difference, to kind of refresh their memory, to kind of continue that learning, to continue that addition to your wisdom, right? That even the wise people can gain more wisdom from reading this book. See more information. We're never smart enough to quit learning, right? There's always something new, something that we need to be reminded of, something that we may have set aside or forgot or may not be practicing any much because we just have other things in our mind. Proverbs is for the wise as well, not just for the simple, but for the wise. And it helps all of them to get a discerning, to let the discerning get guidance, okay? That's how I put down there, to let the discerning get guidance. And this parallels, like I said, the one before that, kind of adding to our wisdom. This word discernment, and getting discerning wisdom here is 42 times in Proverbs. Again, a very prominent word, how to discern, how to know what is right and wrong, how to weigh these two opinions. A discerning spirit gets special knowledge or gaining a useful skill. So if you're wise, you'll learn more. If you're simple, you just gain what you don't know already. But the wise will be able to use this properly. And then finally, it says there in Proverbs, the seventh purpose is to understand parables and Proverbs, parables, sayings, and riddles. Now, this is a very unique one because, you know, if you read the Proverbs, the more you want to read Proverbs, and the more you read Proverbs, the more you understand the Proverbs. It's one of those things that the more you know, the more you read, the more you understand how these are working out, the more you understand. If you read them more and more and more, the more you understand them. It kind of reminds me of a child telling jokes. Now, you know, have you heard a child tell jokes and continue telling other jokes and multiple jokes, and after a while they kind of sound like each other? They kind of sound like the same kind of punchlines and things? That's kind of the similar way that they're saying here. Same thing in the New Testament. When Jesus gives his parables, a lot of his parables about the same thing, and yet they come from a different aspect, and that's that three-dimensional aspect I talked about before. That these parables, the more you look at them and compare them, you say, hey, I understand more about the kingdom of God. I see more about money. I see more about different things because Jesus expresses them in a different way. This is one reason why we have so many parables that say very similar things or exactly the same thing, because sometimes we read a parable and it doesn't hit us at a particular time because we're not going through a different time. And yet later on, maybe weeks later, we read the same or similar parable. And it says, wait a second, it now is hitting me because my life experiences has changed in those 2 or 3 weeks that we read through the Proverbs. It hits us at different times and in different circumstances. Maybe one time it will not make an impact, or we won't see something much in the proverb. But then another time, we'll read it or read it again, and it suddenly, wait, that was in the book? I mean, it comes as a surprise. And so when we read proverbs and parables and sayings and riddles, the more we read, the more we understand them. The more we understand them. I think this goes back to the wise getting wiser and learning more. And so all these 7 purposes kind of make this book here a very reliable book that we can look at and trust in. And I hope that you fall somewhere in there, whether you're simple or wise, whether you're wanting to gain more wisdom or just trying to gain wisdom to begin with, or living a more disciplined life, that somewhere along the line, as we read through Proverbs, that these things will apply to our lives, that we'll read to understand and better discern our walk of wisdom. We need to ask ourselves, what is prudent? What is it we want to take with us? What are we reading that we actually want to apply to our lives? You see, these things, just as I've said in multiple sermons, are not just for intellectual curiosity. It's not just I know these proverbs now. Now I can spout them off whenever someone has this trivia pursuit game. No, they're intended for us to help navigate our life, to help us show what God wants us to, how God wants us to live and grow. They are for our benefit and well-being, and we'll see that in a few minutes as well, because this leads to the theme of Proverbs. We see the purpose of Proverbs and now the theme of Proverbs. The theme of Proverbs, again, gives us very clearly why this book was written and what we'll see in this book throughout. And then we see that in verse 7 of Proverbs 1. The theme is, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. The fear of the Lord. Again, one of those major topics and themes of this book. Out of the 22 times this phrase, fear the Lord, is used in the Bible, half of them, 11 times, are in Proverbs. What is the fear of the Lord? It's kind of sometimes misunderstood. It has less to do with being afraid, but more in the line of awe and wonder. You see, fear is a relevant state of someone, a reverent state of someone who is much greater than you are. You know, he's just so much greater and so much more powerful and so much greater. And it shows us that we are so small and so puny in his sight. And so it kind of gives us, in a sense, kind of that fear, because he can at any time kind of crush us under his foot and send his lightning down. But that's not what fear of the Lord is all about. There's a slight aspect of that, I think, because God is so much more powerful. God is so much greater than us. But it's more that, wow, type of thing. God is so much greater. It's having the fear of the Lord is not, it's just treating God as who he is, as someone who is just so full of wisdom and wants to teach us and so greater than we are. And again, fear of the Lord does not mean we can't have fun with God or joke or have fun in our Christian walk. Fear doesn't mean we're always on pins and needles trying to, other parable about walking on eggshells. No, that's not fear and temper. That's not that joking or fun type of thing. God wants us to have enjoyment in our life. But it's knowing that in some sense, we're not worthy of standing before a holy and present God. But knowing that also we are able to stand in front of God because we are called his children. That kind of, that kingdom that we're kneeling before our king, and yet he's also our loving father. And knowing that we are his child and have that right standing in his presence, and we have that connection with him. So that fear of the Lord is kind of, yes, you're my king, you're my Lord, yet you're my dad as well. So it's less having to do, like I said, with fear, but more in line with this reverence and this idea that God has so much more than us. And that's important when we look at these proverbs, because God wants us to know him more. God wants us to come into his presence and say, hey, let me tell you about this thing. Just like Solomon, this whole idea that Solomon is teaching his son these proverbs. He says, hey, son, come in my presence. Even though I'm the king over all the nation, you're my son and I want to teach you. That's what God is to us in these proverbs. He says, hey, child, Son, daughter, come learn from me. Learn some of the things that I want you to know. He wants us to teach us right from wrong. He wants us to learn how to live a prudent life, a disciplined life. He wants us to grow in our wisdom and learning. He wants those simple and those who are without understanding to gain understanding. And he wants the foolish to change their way. And I like this word here, foolish, or fools despise wisdom, because that's a difference between the simple and the foolish. I mean, there's sometimes that they're in the same boat, as we'll see in a minute, but fools are different from the simple people. The fools are those that despise wisdom, that don't want wisdom. The simple, you know, want to learn more usually, but if they don't want to learn more, then they become fools. But fools are those that just won't change their lives. He wants the foolish to know that unless they change their lives, they're bound to fail. And so this is kind of those themes of Proverbs, that these fools need to change their ways or they're doomed, as we'll see a little later on. So we see the seven purposes of Proverbs, and this theme of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord, is knowledge. Knowing God brings more knowledge to you. But then we start in chapter 1, the first lesson of Proverbs. And it's very interesting that this first chapter kind of gives us a little story. And so let me read you that story here real quick, because it starts to teach us how we can use these Proverbs in our everyday life. Okay, this is kind of the everyday life of teaching others. Okay, Proverbs 1, starting in verse 8. Listen, my son, to your father's instructions. Do not forsake your mother's teachings. They will be like a garland of grace to your head and a chain to adorn your neck. My son, if a sinner entices you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for someone's blood. Let's lie, waylay someone harmless, or some harmless soul, excuse me. Let us swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit. We will get all kinds of sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Throw your lot in with us, and we will share a common purse. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set your foot on their paths, for their feet rush to sin. They are swift to shed blood. And in the first parable we'll see here, how useless it to spread a net in full view of all the birds. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They only weigh they themselves. How long will the simple love, how long will you simple love your simple ways? How long will the mockers delight in mockery and fools hate the knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me, wisdom is talking here, when I called you, no one and gave no one heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when your calamity comes and overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over your life like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, then you will call on me. Again, this is wisdom here. But I will not answer. They will look for me, but not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. Word fear the Lord again. Since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacencies of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me, this is again wisdom talking, will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Now, there's a lot in there, okay? And I wish I had a lot of time to go into details. I just got a little time. But I'm going to point out several interesting things about this passage that we'll find throughout this book. First, this is, again, written by a father to a son. It's kind of, son, listen to my teachings. Listen to what your mother says. We're trying to teach you good things. Now, whether that's a heavenly father speaking to his earthly children, or whether that be an earthly father speaking to his earthly children, or if that is a spiritual father talking to their spiritual children, it's kind of those things that this applies to everyone, that we can learn from God, that we can teach others, that idea of passing on that wisdom, that knowledge, passing on information and learning from one person to another. Someone who has knowledge, experience, and life situations wants to bring them to those who come behind them. Someone And these lessons are precious and beneficial, it says there. They're like a chain around your neck, like a garland on your head. And we'll see that many times in Proverbs as well, that wisdom, getting this insight is more valuable than silver or gold. It's more valuable than actual money. So learn about them, cling to them, gain them as you would gain treasures. It kind of reminds me of what Moses says about children, the children of Israel, to do on the doorstep of the promised land. He says in Deuteronomy 6, starting in verse 6, "These commandments I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them to your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." I mean, Moses is saying, hey, I want you to teach these laws that I'm going to give to you to your children. Teach these principles of right and wrong in such a way that they're almost as if they're literally written on your forehead or literally written on the door. In fact, some Jewish houses actually do this. They actually literally on their door frames put a little box with verses in there. If you see some Hasmonean Jews in Israel, sometimes you see a little box on their forehead that's strapped to their forehead. That actually has a little piece of the Torah scroll in there that reminds them, hey, this is God's word, and I need to apply it to my life. They literally take this to heart and literally write it on their foreheads, tie them as symbols on their hands and on their foreheads. And that's how we want these proverbs to be, because they are so precious, so useful to us. But then we have this first lesson in Proverbs, and it's all about peer pressure. Don't give in to peer pressure is kind of what this is saying. Or as Paul says in the New Testament, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold, right? So don't be tempted by the things that you know are wrong by doing them. And this is where we find the first real proverb of Proverbs. I'm not sure if you caught it there, but it's in Proverbs 17, verse 17. It says, how useless to spread out a net in full view of the birds. And it's kind of one of those proverbs that kind of is obscure, but it's kind of saying, hey, don't set a trap when the people that you're going to want to fall in a trap are going to fall into that trap. Because they'll see that trap and they won't follow in that trap, right? So if you're going to trap some birds, don't spread out a net where they can see it. Don't bait the trap while they're watching, because they'll know, hey, I'm not going to fall for that. And yet, he turns his proverbs on its head and says, hey, these people who are tempting you to do bad things are even stupider than birds that see a trap and fall for it. These people are falling into their own trap, is what he says here in chapter 1. These people are stupider than birds. They're fools because they're falling for their own trap. They know what's coming and yet still jump into that trap. And once, oh, that's... That bait that I just made there, I'm going to grab that. And they just fall for it. They're stupid. And so Solomon is using this proverb to state how foolish these evil men are. That these men are just, don't follow after fools like this, because they're just going to fall for any trap that's set for them, even if they know that it's a trap. And then we finally see for the first time this personification of wisdom. And I like how several times in this book, Solomon makes abstract things concrete, certain. You know, he takes these abstract things like knowledge and says, what if that knowledge could speak? What if that knowledge had hands and had a voice and had this thing that wanted to share with you what they were? And so he takes this idea of wisdom and makes it into a person and says, hey, this person of wisdom is just calling out to you. Now, that personification could be God himself, could be Jesus. Some people say, hey, wisdom is Jesus incarnate in the New Testament. But what if this person, what if wisdom could speak to you? What would they say? What would they do to you? What would it want you to learn if wisdom was given a voice? And so he says, hey, wisdom is saying to you, watch out. It's a warning here in chapter 1. We'll see later on that wisdom promotes the good things. Hey, come to me, learn from me, type of thing. But wisdom here in chapter 1 says, hey, watch out for these wicked, evil, foolish people. It's a warning. Here, the first words out of wisdom's mouth is a cautionary tale. You see, if you reject wisdom, if you mock what wisdom is trying to give to you, it's going to cause trouble later on down the road because you're not going to be able to get that wisdom back. So I'm going to teach you these things. If you don't learn them, you're going to end up worse than you are. Disaster is awaiting you. Trouble is knocking at your door. If this continues, wisdom, I'm no longer going to be your ally. I'm not going to longer help you because you've ignored me so many times. I'm not going to listen to you when you call to me. I'm not going to listen to you because you've ignored me so many times before. Wisdom is saying, hey, I want you to learn, because if you don't learn now, you're going to end up in a bad place. Because no longer will wisdom come to you when you need it. And here's where we get a small taste of what I talked about last week with Solomon in the end of his life. Solomon had all this wisdom in the world, and yet he fell prey and fell trapped to sin time and time again with his wives. Sin allowed sin in his life to become more important than God's wisdom. He allowed things to happen in his life that were foolish. As we look back upon him, he probably didn't think so foolish at the time because he loved his wives, but sin became more important than what God asked him to do. His kingdom paid the price at the time of his death, falling in two pieces. He in a sense, became like King Saul, who was a couple kings before him, who also started out well, but then did not follow wisdom. King Saul allowed sin to grow in his life to the point where God said, I'm not going to listen to you anymore, King Saul. I'm going to go on to David. I'm not going to listen to you anymore. And Saul got to the point where he so wanted God's wisdom, and God said no, that he had to go to a medium to try to gain God's wisdom. And you know the story about that. So the implied warning here is, listen, apply this wisdom to your life when I'm teaching it to you, because if you don't follow it now, later on in your life, you're going to be in for a world of hurt. There are consequences to refusing to listen to wisdom. Grave consequences. And literally, grave consequences. It's a matter of life and death, right? It says there, let me read that end part of Proverbs there, starting in verse 32. They will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes, for the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacencies of fools will destroy them. It's a matter of life and death. Yes, wisdom is valuable. It's great to gain, more valuable than gold and silver, but it's also very costly if you don't follow wisdom. Both the simple and the foolish, by not gaining the wisdom, will fail in the end. Both of them are doomed. And again, this idea that the simple did not become wise. It's a sin not to become wise. That's what they're saying here. That the simple and the foolish are no longer wanting to learn. That's how they're similar. They're no longer wanting to learn. Now the simple cannot become foolish, and the foolish cannot be simple, but they both had the same thing. The foolish are more of those people that says, I don't want to learn. Whereas the simple says, I just don't know. But both of them, if they don't learn or refuse to learn, are doomed in the end. So don't be like them. Be like the ones that they say at the end of this chapter here. But those who listen to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. This should be our goal in life. This should be what we strive for, that we gain wisdom, so that way we'll live in safety and in ease. When we gain wisdom that God gives us, he will make our lives better. We'll find ourselves in the safe arms of Jesus. Safe in the arms of Jesus. Actually, there's a hymn by that name. I'm not sure if you guys know it. Safe in the arms of Jesus. It's not our hymn book, but it's actually written by Fanny Crosby. In one of those Fanny Crosby hymns. Safe in the arms of Jesus. Because we know him. We want to know him more. That's what Proverbs is all about. So when you listen to the wisdom of Proverbs, we too can find that peace and that rest. We've seen the purpose, the theme, and even the lesson of Proverbs that we'll see throughout this thing. It's to grow from being simple to being wise, from going wise to be wiser. It's knowing God and fearing the Lord that will benefit us and bring life and safety to our days. And that's what the book is all about.